How are we doing? Let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, please. Sorry? Okay. All right. So I'm going to go and you play with me and we'll play together. Okay. So today, we need the next slide, then. Today we're doing part 7 of Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And today I want to talk about Jesus, the last Adam. Not the last atom, the last Adam. And we might think, well, what's so important about it? Well, I hope by the time we finish, you're going to go, wow, I'm so glad that Jesus was the last Adam. So we're going to have a look at a few things. And I want the overall umbrella is what we looked at earlier when we prayed this morning and through the pre-service prayer meeting, some of the words that came through and the things that have been going on. I want our overall umbrella to be, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. When we're done, at the end of it, we want to be able to say, thank you, Jesus. And I know I've said it before many times that just to say thank you doesn't sort of cut it. You know, when you think about what Jesus did on the cross and the price he paid and what he went through, and hopefully this morning you see the liberation, the freedom, and what he did for us, you're going to go, thank you, Jesus, but that doesn't really cut it. And I've said before, the only way we can make it cut it for ourselves, not because he needs it, is to live our lives in Romans chapter 12. Renew our minds. We heard the word come through this morning. Renew our minds. Think differently about things. We've spoken about Jesus being the fully the lion, fully the lamb, fully God, fully man. If I wrapped that, it would sound a lot more exciting. But let's not go there for now. And look, we've looked at Jesus in a number of aspects. And last week, Kev did a great job on Jesus, King of Prince of Peace. And I was so excited to preach that myself, but there we have it. And I had a picture of a lion in a zoo in South Africa. And the reason it was so important was that he was sitting, and some of you, if you follow the news, you'll see that about 3 weeks ago, they had a dump of snow in South Africa. Yes, it snows there. And they had snow about this deep in South Africa. And there was this lion, an African lion, never seen snow in all his life, lying out in his enclosure, and the snow was all falling around him, and you could see he was not fazed by this thing at all. You know, he just sat there and he looked into his eyes, and was a great picture of him just staring. I'm at rest, I'm at peace. Jesus, the Lion of Judah, Jesus, the Prince of Peace. And he was at so much peace about this amazing phenomena. And we hope that throughout we're going and understanding. And I love this morning, Don spoke something, and I just started to smile because one of the things I wanted to say was that in Revelation, Jesus is known as the Alpha and the Omega. I love it when I'm watching the Spirit of God moving and just aligning things for us to be functioning and working in. He said he's the first and last. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He is the living one. He is the beginning. He is the end. There is no beginning and there is no end of Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. What a precious name. We've looked at a number of titles and things that we've ascribed to him, but we haven't, in my opinion, scratched the surface of the persona of Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. John 1:17, I love the scripture. And I don't know why I threw it in here, but it's got nothing to do really, but it's got everything to do with it. For the law was given by Moses. Given is the important word. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. That's so important for us to understand that. The law was given. Here's the law. You have to follow it and do what I tell you to do. Jesus came as grace and truth. Isn't that much more powerful? He came. Jesus is grace. Jesus is, we know God is love and we know that. Jesus, of course, is also love. Jesus is grace and truth. He's not a feeling. He's not an emotion. He's not a thought in our head. He's not a faith thing. He is. Hallelujah. Amen. Mark, well done. Lay your hand on you for anointing. I can feel it. Come on, man. Adam was the first man. He was placed in the garden. Why was he placed in the garden? He was placed there to tend the garden, to work in the garden. If you don't believe me, Genesis 2:15, the Lord God took man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. A spiritual, fundamental process was set in place. And that's why, especially for us guys, we are meant to work. God has created us to work and to be providers. And yeah, he took Adam, the first man, stuck him in the garden and said, buddy, I want you to work this garden and you can eat of the fruit of it and you can do what you like, but there's one thing you can't do. And we'll talk about that later on. A spiritual order was set in place. But when Adam and Eve disobeyed and rebelled against one law that God gave them, have you ever thought about that? God gave them one law, one commandment. That's all you have to do is actually not eat of the tree of good, of knowledge of good and evil. That's all you got to do. And they couldn't help themselves. And they fell. And because of that, they couldn't enjoy the constant tight fellowship with God. Their hope for eternal life was dashed. Because they decided for themselves what was good and evil and what was full of knowledge. God wanted to have fellowship with man once again. He always wanted it. And so he had a plan, a purpose and a plan that came up. And he said that, I want to show you something. He wanted right fellowship with his people. He wanted to have his only son, Jesus, come and die on a cross for us. You say, Mark, this sounds more like a gospel message. Well, it is. Because that's all we do. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. The King and his kingdom, the gospel of Jesus Christ. When you get to the book of Revelation, Chris mentioned it early. And Chris corrected me once or twice. It's not what many of us say, the book of Revelations. It's not the book of Revelations. It's the book of Revelation 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ. When we are obedient, when we live our lives fully, there was the natural and then the spiritual. We're going to get deeper into that. But when we live in the Spirit, we have eternal life. If we're not in the Spirit, we do not have eternal life. Romans 8:13. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, and you will live. It's not hard to understand. It's not hard to grasp. Galatians 5:25. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. There is a drumbeat to which we have to walk. Well, I'm free from the slavery of sin and dominion, and I'm just over here and just going to do what I like. No, you go from the slavery of the law to the slavery of grace. And it's good to be a slave to grace. It's good to respond to the grace of Christ Jesus. Just this one little diagram I found. I didn't draw all this up here. Don't know if I'm that clever. But we need to have a look. First Adam and Eve. Are we there, guys? Yeah, we're there. Noah and the flood. And we see there's an era of creation. And if you come to a life group, you get to learn about all this stuff. Anyway. And we get the creation. We get the fall, the flood, and the Tower of Babel. It's the first four important things there. And as you go through, you see that God always had one plan and one purpose. And in the end, it was for the spotless bride or the new Eve, for his son, Jesus Christ. And so I just thought that we can see, and you can see the whole history that goes through there, and I don't have time to go through it. I just thought it was cool, and I thought I'd show it to you. There we go. Okay, anybody else think it's cool? There we go. Okay. 1 Corinthians 15:22. Let's read. So now I'm going to start preaching. Okay, let's go to 21. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam, all die. No one escapes. All die. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. So that's pretty good. Over the page. A lengthy piece of scripture, so let's read, be patient. I'll read slowly so we all get it through. Verse 35. But someone will ask, how are the dead raised? What kind of body do they come? You foolish person. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And what you sow is not the body that is to be, but a bare kernel, perhaps of wheat or of some other grain. But God gives it a body as He chosen, and to each kind of seed its own body. For not all flesh is the same, but there is one kind for humans, another for animals, another for birds, and another for fish. So interesting. There are heavenly bodies and earthly bodies, but the glory of the heavenly is of one kind, and the glory of the earthly is of another kind. So we're starting to draw parallels. There's one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for star differs from star in glory. So is it with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable, what is raised is imperishable. If it is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there's also a spiritual body. I think Paul had a lot to think about when he wrote. Thus it is written, the first man, Adam, became living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. But it is not the spiritual that is first, but the natural and then the spiritual. The first man was from the earth, a man of dust. The second man is from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are of the dust, and as is the man of heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. Just as we have been born, the image of the man of dust, we shall also be, or bear, sorry, the image of the man of heaven. Now we have a mystery and a victory. I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on the immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? And by now some of you are asking, what is that all about? I'm so glad you asked. So what are we I call it the descriptions of twos. I had the description of twosies just for a little bit of fun, but I thought we'll just stick with this. my notes is twosies, but anyway, here we go. So we have two Adams, or two kinds of bodies, verses 44 and 45. One is the natural, one is the spiritual. One is soulish, functioning in the flesh, and it's all about me, myself, and how I am, and my senses, and we mentioned it this morning, my emotions getting out of check, and I let my emotions rule over God's will in my life. The other one is spiritual, but not that Jesus became the Holy Spirit. This is not what we're talking about. We're talking about having a spirit being that we live by. One says is life receiving. He created Adam out of the dust, breathed that ruach, that breath of life into him. He was life receiving Adam. But Jesus is life-giving. And Jesus comes and gives us life and life more abundantly. And He fills us with the joy that we spoke about this morning. We have to pay attention to what God is saying to people to come and share with the body of Christ. Otherwise, some of the stuff just sounds all nice and looks weird. But we have to learn to listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying and go with the flow and hear what He's saying. You know, maybe some of you don't believe me, but we have a plan and a purpose of being here. But we're also happy when the Holy Spirit says, go left. You have no idea how I battled to prepare the sermon this week because I felt like the God rushing in and saying, do this thing, Mark. Do this one. And eventually, Friday, I laid it down and said, Lord, what is it you want me to preach? And he said, preach Jesus, the last Adam. I was like, oh, okay, I'll do that. We want to be in tune with what the Spirit is saying. Because that's when life, as Chris opened this morning, I hope you got what he was saying. God is taking us into a new realm, new vistas he's opening for us. A deeper revelation of Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. We did that. Who's our God? We get excited about it. We must get excited about Jesus. Because otherwise it's just words on a paper and we don't see the life that comes out of it. Anyway, it's up on the board there, right? The other one is of natural likeness. One, first Adam, is of natural likeness. The second one is spiritual likeness and resurrection power. And now you're thinking, okay, well, where do I sit in this thing? Hopefully you know the answer and you're saying, well, if that be true, then I am in the spiritual likeness and I have resurrection power. And I pray, and I think you quoted it this morning, Chris, prayers of a fervent prayers of a righteous man availeth much. You see, I was raised on King James. I can't help myself. Second one, we have two, there's two natures at play here. First Adam, last Adam. One from earth, one from heaven, verse 47. One is weak and vulnerable and prone to sin in my first Adam state. The other one is I'm not in my first Adam state. I'm in Christ Jesus' state. If I can, there is no second Adam. All power and authority. Jesus said, all power and authority has been given to me. Now go. We live in that delegated authority of Jesus. To humanities, verse 48. The man of dust and the man of heaven. The one created and life receiving. The other one life giving. What we will inherit from dust and what we will inherit from heaven. If you stay in your Adam state, that's what you will inherit. If we stay in lost Adam, that's what we will inherit. Mark, you're making a whole bunch of decisions and choices here I have to make. No. I'll show you later. Two images. It's just throwing out these. Well, I like fishing, eh? Catch a big fish. Images. Two images. Man of dust, man of heaven. One unregenerated state, we carry the image of Adam. We behave like Adam. Unregenerated. The other one, we carry the image of Christ, the last Adam. And we live in the fullness of all of that. And we see also in these scriptures, I think I'm really jumping ahead of myself and I've got to make sense of what I'm trying to say this morning. Okay. The mystery and the victory of the last Adam. And we read those in the last couple of scriptures and we see that the flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom, the heaven. We go, and I'm going to keep going back to stuff we've preached on before when we speak about Ephesians, the book of Ephesians. And it helps us to see that. Remember, you were what? Dead in your trespasses, made alive in Christ Jesus, seated in heavenly places, important one. Kneel before the Father, from whom all earth derives its name. Walk according to the will of God. And at the end, we're doing a little bit of UFC, MMA, fighting for the cause. Spiritual warfare. Not quite UFC, but let's get it. We see there's a separation of the perishable and the imperishable. We cannot live as perishable and think we will inherit imperishable. We see here that also Paul in this last scriptures that I wrote in the first few parts, he gives us a vivid illustration of a funeral. And he's talking about and saying that we die. Where are we going here? 35. And what you sow is not the body, but that is to be but a bare kernel, perhaps of wheat or of some other grain. But God gives it a body and he has chosen into each kind of seed its own. And he goes on and we read in John 12:24, we'll talk about that just now. But the point is that something's got to go into the ground, and it does. And if you look at all the imagery and the pictures that we see of this, we understand that Jesus went into, He died, went into the ground 3 days, was rose again. We too, when we put the kernel into the ground, it has to die. And the only way it comes to life is if we go and water it. I read up a little bit, so I know a little bit what I'm talking about. And Paul can correct me afterwards. He is a farmer. But if we don't water it, it won't grow. And it goes in, and when you water it, it swells. And then it bursts out of skin, and the shoot comes up. And then it comes up, and then it takes in the oxygen that has been breathed on the earth. And it comes out of the ground, and we water it, and we give it life. Does that sound something like our spiritual life? We get washed with the water of God. The breath of God, the Holy Spirit comes in and breathes into it. And we grow and mature into sons of God. Into likeness of the second Adam. The last Adam, sorry. You can shout out, there is no second Adam, if I say that again. Thank you. Let's get our theology right here. Yeah. So Jesus, the last Adam. Jesus is life-giving. Jesus died to bring us life. John 12:24. Truly, truly, or verily, verily, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. If it doesn't get the watering, if it doesn't get the sustenance, if it doesn't get the food, it will die. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. And I know some people like to think, well, I'll just stay at home and I'll just, me and Jesus at home. It's not Bible. It's not biblical. I just want to say that clearly. Because, example, if you have a hot bunch of coals in a hearth, in a fireplace, and you take one out and stick it next to the hearth, and you leave the rest there, the rest carry on, and they, woo, and they're going for it. And they're burning and doing what they're supposed to do. But the one out on the hearth, what happens to it? It thinks that it's doing great. But it's getting colder and colder and colder. And in essence, further away from the flame. People, I don't even know why I'm saying all this. Not even my notes was on track. People think that it's okay just to have home church. Home church is not biblical in its true sense. Go and read in the book of Acts. You'll see in the collective gathering and in the homes. It's a both and. It's not one or the other. It's like prayer meetings optional. Hey? Are we front row getting nervous? What's he going to say next? I'm just throwing it out there for you. We want to be Bible. We want to be New Testament people. We want to be apostolic prophetic people. We can't be like, we go to the grocery shop and, oh, I don't like that cheese. I'll just have this cheese. No, those tomatoes don't look nice. We got to take it all. Genesis to Revelation. Back to your preach, Mark. Naughty pastor. Where are we? John. Jesus was and is the only way of reconciliation to the Father. We have this imagery of the seed again, which I don't want to go over again. But as I said in Ephesians, you who were dead in your trespasses, we are already dead. We are born dead. How can that be so? I'll show you later on. But because we were born in Adam and Adam sinned and Adam died and death was brought to him and Eve. And we think we know, well, I'm okay. I do good works and I help little old ladies across the street and I got the cat out the tree last week and I'm doing good and I fed the budgie and watered the pooch and so I'm good. I'm doing good deeds. That's not how we enter the kingdom of heaven because the last Adam came for us. He came for once and for all to bring life. And if we are in Adam, first Adam, we do not have life. We are breathing, we are walking around, we're doing stuff, but it's like everything else. You don't go to grade one so that you can get out of school. You go to grade one so you can get to grade 12 to get out of school, so that you can go to university or college day one, so you can get out of that in day three, year three or four, so that you can get into business and be the junior and start all over again. It's like having been the big shark and the guppy in the fish tank. You get to grade one and you think, yes, I'm at school. Because that's how they talk in grade one. And then they get there and they realize that, grade seven? Grade eight's high school. Grade nine. And they think grade eight is like, oh man, I want to get good. And they get to grade eight and they're the prefect. And go, yee, I'm here. And then September rolls around. And you go, oh my, I used to be the shark. Now I'm just the guppy again. And life is like that. Sharks and guppies. Should preach a sermon on that. Anyway. Secondly, let's move on. We must die to have life. Jesus came. He died and brought life. We die to have life. Now, you already said we're already dead, so we can't die again. You know what I'm saying? We can't just die, well, I'm already dead. Ephesians 2:1. You are now dead in your trespasses and in your sins. So what, I've got to die again? No, you're already dead. But we're hoping to bring you to life by accepting the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we see that, He's brought us life and He's given us and He's watered us and He's fed us and He's given us milk and then He's given us meat and He's given us the Word of God and He's given us the Holy Spirit, the breath of life, and we grow and mature and we become these great oaks of righteousness. I love that because an oak, O-A-K, is an oak, is a tree, but in South Africa, a slang word for a guy is an oak, O-K-E. So we are oaks of righteousness. There we go. So you can say you're an OKE of righteousness as well as an OAK. I had too much coffee. I had too much coffee this morning. Okay. Romans 6:4. We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. So you've heard me say, when we are dead and unregenerated and we come into Christ Jesus, it's not like I'm like a motor car and I need some parts changed and change me, God, and fix me up, God. No, we become a whole new creation. Why? Because we have stepped out of old Adam into the last Adam. We are now a whole new creation. Where the old has gone, the new has come. We've got to get these scriptures into our hearts and to understand them and live them and believe them. It's like Kev said this morning. You might have all this stuff coming in on you, but look through the clouds. We have an open heaven. It's not, well, I've got to fight now to get the open heaven. I already have an open heaven. Jesus made that possible. The last Adam came and made it possible that I have an open heaven before me. I don't have to scream and shout and warfare and run because it's been made there for us. Thanks, Chris. Yeah. When we are baptized into His death, if you've been saved and you've given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ and you've never been baptized, next Sunday is a great opportunity. Sorry? Amen. Thank you. So, because we've been baptized into death as He has, but we've never gone through the waters, we've never understood. I want to say something to you. Baptism is not just let's go and get dunked. There is a spiritual transaction that takes place. I've baptized a girl with a broken leg on crutches, carried her, put her in the baptizer. She got out, she gave her crutches to her brother, and she walked away. Robert, who's still in hospital, when I baptized Robert here, Robert got filled with the Holy Spirit, came up out of the waters, and he was standing there, and Robert was then he was crying and tears were running in his face. He was shaking. And he says, I feel weird. I don't know what's going on with me. And so I said to Robert, well, Robert, what are you feeling? He says, I don't know. I feel like all shaky and tingly all over. That's the best way you could describe it. I said, that's the Holy Spirit. The problem is that what we want to do, and I've used this illustration before, so old people, don't worry, just go with the flow. But when we come to, we sing, surrender, I surrender all. Then we go, yeah. Take my time, I take my wallet, and I take my keys, and I set them aside, because they can't go into the water with me. So I surrender all to you, Jesus. I want to come and live in your house with you, Jesus. But you can't have my time, you can't have my money, and you can't have my resources because they are set aside for me. And when I'm talking about dying to self, those are the things we need to die to self about. Abandon all for what is before us. With joy, he went to the cross. I run this race, Paul says, for the prize at the end. We have to look further down the road than tomorrow or next week or next year or 5 years from now. We have to open our vista and look into eternity and say, that's why Jesus is my Lord and Savior. I have now become an alien on this planet. We used to sing that old song. I'm just a stranger passing through. Heaven is my home. I don't know what to do or something like that. It rhymed. But that was the song. So I know some of you look at me and you know what I'm talking about. Oh, Galatians 2:20. I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. That should be our anthem. That should be on every door on our house, entering and exiting it. But Christ who lives in me and the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God because I'm trapped in this mortal body right now. But my spirit and my soul is seated in heavenly places. I'm above and I'm not below. And you know, we get all religious about that stuff. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Die to ourselves. A willingness to lay down for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and live for the last Adam. Secondly, Jesus is the fulfillment of prophecies. How so, Mark? Glad you asked. The rescuer of the first Adam is Jesus. The first prophecy of Jesus, Genesis 3:15. I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. The prophecy from God to the serpent. And you go, why bruise the head and why bruise the heel? Well, the bruising on the head, if you go and do the whole translation, is a fatal blow to the head, but the bruising to the heel is from one can recover from. This is not Achilles' heel arrow in Greek mythology stuff. This is good, healthy Bible. Satan's head would be crushed. Jesus would bruise his heel on his head, but Jesus would recover from that thing. He was crushed on the cross, but he rose 3 days. Baptized, kernel of wheat, died in the ground. Breath of God blew into him, raised him from the dead. But prophecy makes it clear that he will triumph over Satan, and a man has to do that. Philippians 2:6, who though he was in the form of God did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man. Here we have Jesus comes to earth incarnate, fully God, fully man. I can't help myself. Fully the lion, fully the lamb. That's who our Jesus is. And he came. Oh, I've got to help you here. The fulfillment of the prophecy. Hebrews 2:14. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood. We, children share in flesh and blood. He himself likewise partook of the same thing. That through death he might destroy the one who is the power of death. That is the devil. And deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. Jesus came, took on the flesh and blood to fulfill the prophecy that we might walk in the fullness. And then, last one here. Jesus is spirit. Jesus is from heaven. Philippians 3:20. But our citizenship is in heaven and from it we wait a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are already looking ahead through the vistas, through the clouds, into eternity. And we say, that's where my citizenship is. That is where I am. I am no longer a citizen of this earth. I'm a citizen of heaven. Where, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ and you live in that fullness, you are no longer a citizen of earth. You have a new passport. And your passport sets you up for your business trip into eternity. Isn't that amazing? I think it's amazing. We too have spirits that are distinct from our souls. Do you know? Some people teach you we're two-part being. Scripture is very clear. We are three-part beings. Body, soul, and spirit. And we stay in that state. But our soul is regenerating. We live in the new. And of course, what is the point of Him being spirit? Well, we will be like Him. Because, my opinion, we are not human beings having an earthly experience. We are spiritual beings having an earthly experience. Because we live there. I'm visiting here. You know, this would be like if we'd just come to Canada for a couple of years and then we were going home, back to South Africa. That's not home anymore. And October next year, we can get our citizenship. So we're looking forward to that day when we get a new passport. And then it's fun to travel with me through the borders. Until then, it's not so much fun. Ask Mark and Amanda. What? Where am I? We will be like Him. 1 Corinthians 15:48. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are of the dust. And as is the man of heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. Are you listening to these words? Are you getting them? Just as we have been born the image of the man of dust, so shall also bear the image of the man of heaven. There is distinguishing between earth, Adam, heaven, Jesus, last Adam. Whilst our bodies remain earthly bound, as I said, our spirits are soaring and flying. And if we could just step out of the realm of this that captures me and this that holds me here, if we could just, and I don't get all spooky, but if you can imagine us as spirit beings soaring above, our eyes open to the spiritual realm, which sometimes it happens, people see into the spiritual realm sometimes, and they see things. And we go in and we're walking and you're sitting and you're talking to someone and you're discerning. You're not discerning in the natural. You're discerning in the spiritual. You're functioning in the spirit. Why? Because we're spiritual beings. We've given our life over to the last Adam. We stand in this realm. Yay! Okay. Let's go to Romans chapter 5. We're going to close with this. Romans chapter 5. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 5. Please. Okay. So this is another one of those, what? Scriptures, pieces of scripture. Reading chapter 5, verse 12. Therefore, and the therefore is always therefore because it spoke about something before. Just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread, was passed on to, was inherited down to all men, because, space, all sinned. Isn't that interesting? Not some, not maybe, not possibly. Paul is very emphatic about this. For sin, indeed, was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses. Very strange piece of scripture. We'll talk about that just now. Even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. 15. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. Verse 16. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. Those two free gift parts are important. For the judgment following one's trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. For if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. Verse 19, for as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. Now the law came in to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. Let's just stop there. So you say, well, Mark, that's all very interesting. I don't get some of this stuff. Well, for sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses. Now we understand in the Garden of Eden, one law passed down. Fell from law, broke the law, and then nothing until Moses. There were no laws. Not how you should live, not how you should eat, not how you should do, not how you should offer sacrifice. There were no laws. So that's why it says from Adam to Moses, there was no law, but yet death reigned. You go, well, that's not fair. Well, that's helping us to understand that when Adam sinned and the world fell into sin, we are born of Adamic nature and we didn't need law because we are of corrupt seed. And we are born in corrupt seed from Adam to Moses. Then God gets to Mount Sinai, and because He chooses this people called the Israelites or the Jews, He chooses them, He gives them the law. And on Mount Sinai, we have the Ten Commandments that are written out, and then the Levitical priesthood and all the law, etc., and law entered in. And you say, okay, well, there's law now. Now that's fair. No, it was going right back to Adam. First place of mention. We have to always in the Bible look for first place of mention. We have to understand from Genesis to Revelation. I know I've said this many times, but we cannot just take Scripture out of context and think we're going to make something out of it. Because there's always something in the Old Testament that leads us to that. And it's the same as when we said in the Old Testament, God has got all these wonderful, amazing names. Elohim, El this, El that, all this stuff. And we got here to Jesus and we think, well, God is still all that. Yeah, He is. But Jesus is the fulfillment of all of that. Look to Jesus. It's all about Jesus. And He hands it over to the Father and says, Dad, here's it. This is what You sent me to do. This is what I've done. Give glory to the Father. Otherwise, we live confused lives. So what are we looking at? Contrast parallels here. Romans 5:12-19. We have to understand it's all about our position. I'm earthly bound and I can't jump. I can't get up there. But my spirit soars and my spirit lives there because I'm a citizen of another galaxy almost. If you want to put it that way. So I'm just getting, just to help us with some of that, I've got this little diagram that you've heard me say this, there's two teams. You cannot not be on a team. You are on a team. No, I'm not. Yes, you are. Just let me be bold about that. Not to choose is to choose. So, if you're in Adam, you're in sin. And you're under the law, and you're in the flesh. But if you're in Jesus, in the last Adam, you're in righteousness, and you're under grace, and you're in the Spirit. Hold on, Mark. What about if I sin and I mess up? Okay, so there's this grid here, and there's a dividing line. You can't cross teams. Once you're on the team, you're on the team. So, but if I sin, and I've been bad, and I haven't read my Bible 7 times this week, and I haven't prayed 14 times, and I haven't tithed, and I haven't help the lady across the street, and I haven't got the cat out the tree, and I've been bad. Do I now go on the other team? No. So let me put it to you this way. Do you remember when I said we have the two teams, you're playing hockey, and you win, because we're on the winning team, and when you're walking off, the other team are trying to dissuade you to join the other team in the game. Ah, you guys cheated. Ah, you got top players, you got League One players. This and that. And we just go, no, we won, we're victorious. The same picture. You're in Adam's team or you're in last Adam's team. And then you mess up. You scored an own goal. Anyone ever played sport and scored an own goal? Yeah. It's not fun. You feel like the real chump of the day. I had a friend, we were playing rugby and we were like 10 meters from the line. And I said to him, he said, Glenn, Mark, he was a prop forward, which they never get to score. He said, Mark, let me score, let me score. I'm playing center, so I passed him the ball, and he ran, and he was so excited, so exhilarated. So here's the try line. Here's the dead ball line. Picture this with me. Throwing the ball 5 meters, 10 meters out, throwing the ball, open line. All he's got to do is dot the ball down here. He runs and he dives. Oops. It's not as bad scoring on your own goal, but you know, if you played soccer, sometimes you're kicking it. So what happens when you score your own goal? Oh, they change jersey, go on the other team? No. You go and say, hey, guys, go to the captain and say, I messed up, sorry. Captain says, okay, but don't do it again, let's go. But we think, oh, sin today. Now remember what I said? If you're under condemnation, you're in Adam, your thinking is in Adam, but you've crossed over, you're on this team, and you're playing on this team, and you're excited for this team because you see eternity in head, and you see the point, and you go and you score your own goal. Boom. The captain goes, not so smart, bud. What does he do? The captain, what does the captain do? Okay, now listen now. In reality, in playing sport, what's the captain do? He says, come now, my boy. Let me show you. Focus. There's our goal. There's their goal. We want the ball or puck in those nets over there. So that's what we do. Now we go along. We play. This is how we play the game. Come on, be encouraged. You don't say, hey, take off your jersey. Give me your jersey. You. Take off your jersey. Yeah. You get on that team. But that's how we think. Oh, I messed up. I don't know what to do. I'm out of fellowship with God. I can't pray. I can't read my Bible. I can't talk to God. Why not? Well, you don't know I messed up. Yeah. So let's go to the coach. Jesus, what should I do? It's okay, my boy, carry on. Okay, my girl, carry on. You're doing great. Yeah, just hold the stick a little bit like this, like that. Yeah, don't lift the puck. Just keep it on the ice. So now we see those contrasting parallels. I'm not going to contradict myself, but they're not really contrasting. But first Adam, sin and death. We're already in sin. We're already in death. But Jesus, we live in justification and reconciliation. I'm justified. I'm reconciled. The propitiation has been paid. The redemption is received. All those nice big words that we spoke about a little while ago. Adam disobeyed the first law. Do not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Yes, God. What happens? Hey, Adam, look what we got. An old wussy just said, yeah, okay, let's eat it. Adam, where are you? Why were you hiding? Why are you hiding? Well, we were naked. Who told you you were naked? Sin had entered in. Adam, he was confused. He didn't know what was going on. And then we find here that it says, do not. But therefore, death entered. And that's why from Adam to Moses, people still died because they were in Adam. And then the law came and we have this option that we were given us now. And now we live through it and we see that people of all ages still died. But then we get the free gift is not like the trespass. Verse 15. Verse 16. Free gift is not the result of the one man's sin. So we see that Adam and last Adam are quite not exactly the same. Because one sin, millions of sins and people. Millions, millions, millions. Last Adam came, one act of obedience. All that wiped out. Wow. All my sins, all the nonsense that I did, wiped out. Is there anything God can't do? He can't remember your sin. Scripture says that. And I remember your sin no more. As far as the east is from the west. Wow. God's also got a forgettery. In the realms of the spiritual realm, when we come into His household, Adam brings condemnation. Christ brings eternal justification. Adam brings the reign of death. Christ brings a greater reign of life. We inherited this tendency to sin, but we can live in justification and righteousness. And we always wonder, what does it mean in right standing with God? So when I score my own goal on my own team, I know the team members go, does he have to be on our team? And Jesus says, of course he does. He's my son. Encourage him. Help him. Don't stand and look at him like he's got three heads. No, but we go, because why? Because we've got taken this and this and the keys and we've set them aside and we haven't died to Christ. And when we bring judgment and condemnation, we take ourselves back into Adam. But we still live in the righteousness side. We haven't changed teams. We can't change teams. He has destroyed the power of sin over our lives. Let me say that again. Jesus has destroyed the power of sin over our lives. And every time you have a propensity to sin, or you have a thought or an idea that's going to take you down that, you're going to think, I'm going to score an own goal, because now you're never going to forget this. I'm going to score an own goal. You say, Jesus, you have given me the ability in your name to stand against the power of sin. It no longer has dominion over me. And you go, oh, there's our goal. Okay, our goal's over there. We need to go over there. And you feel you're drifting over here. Oh, no, 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 I'm going back here. I'm going to play on this team. Because you're on this team. Let's stop there. I don't know if I've got anything more. No, we're done. I hate leaving things when there's like stuff unsaid. So remember, let's just stand together. Remember like I said when we started, I said, big umbrella picture. Thank you, Jesus. He is the last Adam. There was no other Adam to come. There was no second Adam. There was no anything else. He was Jesus. So let's just stand together. And as we stand together, why don't you, just out of your own heart, say thank you, Jesus. Whatever that means to you. Just open your hearts, open your voices. Let me be quiet. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for dying on the cross for us, Lord. Thank you that you came and set aside everything. Thank you, Lord God, that my sins, past, present, and future, are forgiven. Thank you, Lord, for making a way. Thank you for tearing the curtain from top to bottom. Thank you for giving us an open heaven. Thank you for giving us access directly to the Father. Thank you, Lord God, that we don't have to go through another high priest, that you are the one and only high priest that we serve. Thank you, Lord God, that you are our priest and our king, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for my salvation. Thank you for saving me, Lord God. Thank you for opening your heart to me, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, mighty God. Blessed be your name, Jesus. Blessed are you, Lord God. Thankful hearts, we stand here this morning, Lord. Grace and truth, you brought us. We thank you that the law was given as a schoolmaster to show us our sin. But thank you, Jesus, that you are grace and truth. That we live in the righteousness team. Thank you, Lord God, that we are under your grace. Yes. Nothing that we have done for ourselves. By grace we have saved, not of ourselves, not of works. Wow. Thank you, Lord. All God's people said, Amen. Amen.